Good morning. All right, the sun came up today. Jesus is alive. Kingdom's on the move. God's in the house. Luke chapter 17, we're going to focus in on verses 5 and 6 from Luke chapter 17. Luke is in the New Testament, if you didn't know where that was. And it's the third book, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's one of the Gospels. The title of this message today is Faith That Moves. Faith That Moves. As you turn there, I want to remind you that God Almighty, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the boss of the universe, the one who sent his son to die for you, the one who cares about you, the one that has a plan for your life, God of the universe is looking to do the impossible through somebody on this planet. God desires to do the impossible through his people. He prefers to do the impossible because that way, everybody else on the earth will know that it's not them, yet it is God who is doing the work. Therefore, it is a witness of God's character, his heart, and his power. The pity is, the sad thing is that most of us only plan the things for us to do that we can do on our own strength and our own power. Therefore, stifling the power of God in our life. Missing out on the blessings that could be ours had we had a little faith to ask him. Luke chapter 17, verse 5 and 6, the disciples prayed a powerful prayer. And we'll turn there. And I'm going to ask everybody, if you can, in honor of reading God's word, to please stand where you're at. Even if you're at home watching online, we ask you to please stand in honor of reading God's word. If you're there, please say, faith. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. I'm going to ask this one more time. Right there where you're standing, just to make a holy huddle. Just you and the Lord, corona-free. And hopefully it's corona-free. And let's just pray and ask God to speak to us as individuals and corporately today through his word. Can we do that? Father, we pray right now. We confess, Lord, that you know exactly where every one of us are in our faith walk. And so, God, we pray that wherever we are, that, Lord, you would meet us there. And God, we pray right now that you'd speak through your holy word. And God, we pray that you would show up in power. And God, that whatever you do today, we would know that it was you at work. And God, we pray that you would unplug our ears and, God, help us to hear what the Spirit says. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Faith, you may be seated. The apostles, they wanted to be like Jesus. Jesus walked around and he had this peace all over his body. He had this joy. He had this humor. Jesus, I believe, was hilarious. He had this sense of humor. He had this joy in his eyes. It just bubbled out of him all the fruits of the Spirit. And the disciples followed him around, gave up their lives, and they wanted to be just like him. They wanted to be like him. But they understood it was going to require having greater faith. And so what did they do? They had just learned, last week we looked at, Jesus told them they're going to have to forgive their enemies. And that obviously didn't settle well with some of them because they thought, man, this is impossible. We're following Jesus around. John the Baptist has already had his head cut off for his faith. And now the Roman Empire, we're not very popular. People hate our guts. The Jewish people, they hate us. We're not the most popular people. We're kind of the 12 most wanted, 12 plus one. And so there they were. Everybody wanted them to be harmed. And yet now Jesus had told them that they're going to have to forgive people who were their enemies, people that sinned against them. And so they cried out. A few of them says, Lord, increase our faith. What a bold, bold prayer. How much faith do you have today? How much faith do I have today? Now, Jesus, they prayed this prayer of faith. I think they were generally speaking, if you examine it, you say, well, faith in what, right? What do they want faith in? I think generally speaking, God, we would have faith in the Lord, and we would have faith in the mission, what you called us to do. General faith in God's kingdom and in the Lord. So how much faith do we have? We find out real quick, Jesus, his response, remember, he's a master teacher. He has this hilarious way, I think, of kind of spinning things on people when they ask him these crazy questions or bold questions. He says, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, which is really small, for the first time we've seen Jesus talk about a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, the Lord, it doesn't matter what type of tree. Some scholars say it was a mulberry tree, it's a sycamore tree. It doesn't matter what kind of tree it was. The point was, it was impossible to uproot a tree and plant it in the sea. And Jesus didn't want the disciples to become Jedi ninjas and be just like Master Yoda or Obi-Wan Kenobi and say to the trees, rise up, move over here, and go in the sea. That's not what he wanted them to gather from this lesson. He wanted them to realize that if they'll have faith in the Lord, then they can preach with power, then they can reach the lost people, then God can use them to heal the sick, to set the captives free, to bring hope to people who have no hope. And so he uses this example. How much faith do you have? Have you walked into a store lately and they had to hold the thermometer up to your head? Has that happened to you yet? Did you feel violated? I felt a little uncomfortable. They hold it up to your head and it beeps and you kind of scares you to death. You kind of flinch like you think a gun's about to go off. And then they interrogate you and ask you all these personal questions. You feel violated. But what if today we had a faith-o-meter? We had a faith meter somebody invented. And you simply, if you held it up to their head, for example, let's say that we had one and we're going to hold up that faith meter and deet. And then we get a reading, pop up on the screen. And then we hold it here, deet, popped up. Go over here, deet. What would it say if we just went down the row, every single person, and we said, the faith-o-meter, and let's say the scale is 0 to 100. And 0 means you have no faith, zilch. You're super-duper skeptical in everything in the world. And then 100 means you have 100, hundo P, you have 100% faith in the Lord. Now, if we had that and we went to every single person today, every single person watching online at home, we just came in your living room unannounced and held that thing up to your head, deet, what would it say? For the disciples, they had a lot of faith. In fact, probably more than most of us, because they gave up their whole lives. They gave up everything to follow Jesus. Yet, in the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 17, the disciples were trying to cast out this demon out of a little boy. Have you ever tried to cast a demon out of someone? This little boy had a demon. And the disciples, man, they're going to town. They had learned how to cast out demons from the Lord Jesus, but they couldn't do it. And they were devastated. And so they asked God, they said, why couldn't we do it? In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, the Lord says, because of your little faith. That's why you couldn't do it. Because of your little faith. He says, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will obey you. So he uses a mulberry tree in the book of Luke, but here in Matthew chapter 17, he uses a mountain, which to me seems like a bigger task. But the point is, both situations, both examples, it's impossible It's unnatural for this to happen. And you know what else you find out by Jesus using this when he says, because of your little faith, for truly, if you had faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you know what that tells us? The disciples had less faith than the size of a mustard seed. And I wonder, if we had that faith meter on our head today, what would it read? Maybe negative 30? I mean, really, can we just get real? Can we get real? Increase our faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. This is God's word. That's what the Lord's thoughts are to his people about faith. That without it, it's impossible to please the Lord. You can have all the love in your heart. You can be the kindest man or woman. You can go to church every Sunday. You can do everything the right way. You can read all the theology books you want to read, friend. But if you don't have faith, you cannot please the Lord. So the question today, will we have enough guts to pray this kind of prayer like the disciples? And the truth is, we put a lot of faith in a lot of other things other than the Lord, don't we? For those of you that have had to move houses or move to a new city or move across a state line, that takes some faith, doesn't it? It's hard. You got to sell your house, or you got to close up shop wherever you live, or you close down your apartment, change the water and electricity, and move to a new place. You don't know anybody, and you get there. It takes faith to make that move. It's hard. Taking a new job, you got to have faith to get up and go. It takes faith. What about ladies when your husband says, "Will you marry me?" Did that take some faith? Absolutely. Man, it took a lot of faith. That's a scary thing. What about men when you had to go buy that ring and they told you how much it was going to cost? You kind of had to step back. Man, am I sure about this? It takes faith. It takes faith. Moving to a new house, moving across state lines. What about going to a new church? Coming to church the very first Sunday you've never been before. It takes faith. You're trusting, man, these people, somebody loves the Lord. You're taking faith that they're going to teach the Bible. It takes faith. Faith is the most important thing in our life today. Without it, it's impossible to please God. Faith is so important that it is a prerequisite for salvation. Repentance and faith in Jesus is the ticket. Not a fancy faith, not an elaborate faith, not a lot of faith, but a little bit of childlike faith in the mighty God that we serve will get you forgiveness of all your sins, adoption into the kingdom of God, life abundantly, victory over the devil, victory over sin, and a home in heaven forever. It's a pretty sweet deal, and all it takes is repentance and faith in the gospel, in the Lord. Faith. Do you have any? God's looking for people that he can do the impossible through. But the sad thing is, most people, we plan to do, even right now, going forward, we plan to do only the things that we can do in our own strength, which causes no faith. No faith. You know, it's easy to have faith when there's hay in the barn. It's easy to have faith when there's hay in the barn. It's easy to have faith when there's food in the freezer. It's easy to have faith. But what about when you run out? That's when you learn how to have faith. True faith is discovered in the furnace. True faith shows up when it's tested, when it burns away all of the fluff. That is when you find out who has faith. Faith. So what are we going to do? Zero or 100 P? 100%. Jesus tells us we don't only have to have 100%. He's telling us we just need a little bit. We just need 1%, I think. 1%, but who's the object of your faith? If it's in your circumstances, your skill set, your personality, your spiritual gifts, other people, it's not going to get you that far. But if you put a little bit of faith in a great, big, awesome, faithful God, that is the ticket. So the disciples, they said, increase our faith. Lord says, if you had faith like the size of a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea. So the question is, will we ask Lord to increase our faith? And then secondly, what impossible thing is he asking us to do? What's going to be impossible through you that by you walking by faith is going to happen? You see, God rewards those who have faith. We've seen it time and time again throughout history. Little bitty clusters of people out in the rural middle of nowhere that has a little bit of faith in a great big God, God begins to use those people of faith to impact many lost people. We see that in the cities, great big cities. We see a little group of people that begin to take God at his word and walk by faith. We see God bless them abundantly. And God has blessed our church here in Bay St. Louis through the years since 1896 because people had faith in the Lord. But I just wonder, are we going to keep operating based on what happened in the past on their faith, or are we going to walk forward on our faith? Are we going to walk forward just as individuals? Not so much at corporate, but just as individuals this week, are we going to walk by faith? Who will be healed because of your faith? God does the healing, but he uses our faith. What do you want to see God do that's impossible? What do you want to see God do through you? What do you want to believe God for? I mean, really. What do you want? Because I think God's saying to us today, what do you want me to do? The reason we don't have any faith is because we don't ask for it. What do you want? God's willing. He's available. He's ready. He's filthy rich. He has power that this world cannot fathom available to his people. Yet most of us will walk out of here today still planning to do the things that we can do in our own strength. And those few people that says, God, I want more. God, I want to walk by faith. I want to see your power on this earth. I want to win people to Jesus. I want to disciple them. I want to teach them simple elementary truths of the faith. Teach them everything I've learned about you. That's called discipleship, by the way. And equip them, get them connected to a local church, and then see them grow up and serve through a local church and be sent out. It's called mobilization. Do you want to see that through you? Or do you just want the deacons to do it, or just the pastor to do it, or just your small group teacher to do it? Do you want to be a part of that? Because friend, if you're a believer, that is your mission. And so another question today we can pray, another bold prayer, not a question, but a prayer. Prayer request is, God, would you increase my faith in your word? That it's inerrant, that it's infallible, that it's powerful, that it's true, it's the living word of God. Sharper than any double-edged sword. God, would you increase my faith? And if you pray that, and if God increases your faith, then guess what? You realize that when God says, don't do something, that he means it. You realize you can't be like the world, the filthy, wicked, rebellious towards God world. You can't be like them. You got to be different. You got to be salt of the earth. You got to be the light of the world. You can't look like the world. You can't call evil good and good evil. You can't do that according to the word of God. Well, that's just something that, you know, this is their struggle. No, Jesus died on the cross to set us free from things that plague us, to give us power over sin. And so if they can't get over it, it's their loss. They need Jesus to get victory over sin. So when God increases our faith in his word, then guess what? The Great Commission doesn't just apply to certain people anymore. It all of a sudden applies to you. That's your battle instructions, to go into all the earth, into all nations, to make disciples of all nations. It's not just a fuzzy thought. It's just not a nice mission statement. It's personal, because that's what God's calling you to do. He saves you so you can help save others. He gives you the gospel inside of you, and you carry it to other people. And we're just beggars telling other beggars where to find bread, amen? That we've discovered the fount of living water. We've discovered forgiveness for all of our sins. We've discovered life in the power of the name of Jesus. And because we've discovered it, now we're responsible to take that to other people. So when we ask God to increase our faith in his word, you better look out. You better look out. Because then the mission becomes your mission. It becomes personal. The disciples desired a greater faith. They already had some faith. And today, a lot of people here have faith. You're here. You're worshiping the Lord on his day. God is honored. You're singing to the Lord. You're spending time in the word. But like the disciples, will you pray, God, I want a greater faith. God, I want faith that moves mountains. God, I want faith that helps bring lost people into the kingdom, disciples them, and then sends them out. James chapter 1, verse 6 says, let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For what person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord? That person must not expect to receive anything from the Lord, whose faith is wishy-washy, whose faith is here today and it's gone tomorrow. It's not real. James says he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. He's here today. Oh, I want to serve the Lord, but tomorrow you can't find him because his mind is divided. His heart, his loyalty is one day with the Lord and the other day with the world. Ladies, what if your husband said, well, today I'm with you, but tomorrow I'm with this other lady? How'd that make you feel? And that's what we do inside the church when we think about the Lord. God, I'm with you today. Oh, but Friday night, I think I'm with the world. That's not how it works. You're either in or you're out. Problem is, many people think they're inside the kingdom this morning, in this room, or outside of it. You've never really repented and put your faith in Jesus. You may know all the Sunday school answers. You may know all the questions about the Lord, but you don't know Jesus because you never asked him to save you by faith. Today, you can do it. Today can be your day to come home. Today can be your day to be set free from a life of sin and bondage and to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Today can be your adoption day, where the King of Kings drops the gavel down and it's official, you're in his family. Today can be your day, friend. Call upon the name of the Lord and he will save you. What do you believe in God for? Really? You know, soon we're all going to be gone. We're all going to be dead and gone. Well, we won't be dead, actually. We'll be alive. Eternity's forever. Our bodies will be dead soon, all of us. Here today and gone tomorrow. Like a vapor, the Bible says. We're a flower quickly fading. Soon. I'm not trying to scare you. You think about life and how short it is. Everybody, all of us. How do you want to go out? How do you want to go out the rest of your years? What if there's all this power available to you, but you never tapped into it because you never walked by faith? What if God has blessings available to pour out from heaven on your life, but you never asked him for it because you never walked by faith? What if God has people's lives to impact through you, but you never tapped into it because you never asked him, you never walked by faith? So what are you asking God for, really? Well, I'd like to ask God for a little house and safety and security and for good health, and I'd be okay with that. That's a noble thing, but it makes a mockery of God's resources. That's a noble thing, but it is offensive to what he's asked you to do to make disciples of all nations. He's asked you to do more than that. Not just to sit and rot away in a little house out in the middle of nowhere in a nice little utopia, but to take up your cross, let Jesus shine through you, and to be a warrior gospel ninja for the kingdom's sake. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to be a part of his work. The question is, are we going to be a part of it? Are we going to say yes today to the Lord, to his work, to his mission, to his kingdom? What are you asking God for? I'm asking that every single little boy and girl in this nation, every single teenage boy, teenage girl, every single college student, male, female, every 20-something, 30-something, 40-something, 50-something, all the way up to past 100, every single person in this nation will have the chance to hear the good news of the gospel and be saved. They may not repent. They may not accept this free gift of salvation purchased on the cross, but they will hear about it. That's what I'm praying. I'm asking God for. I'm praying that God will turn our wicked nation away from the wicked, rebellious ways of the world, and that mass revival would break out in cities and all across this land. That's what I'm asking God for. I'm asking God to raise up thousands upon hundreds of thousands of college students in this nation to give up their summers to say, Lord, wherever you call me, I'll go. To give up their summer to go to an unreached people group that's never heard the gospel, and to be a part every single day taking the good news to people who've never heard it. I'm asking God to fill up shipping containers filled with millions of pounds of food and medical supplies and Bibles and gospel tracts and curriculum and anything that people needs, to take it to people and villages and cities and islands that's never heard, that's devastated because of coronavirus, that needs resources, that needs help, that needs medicine. Why not? Our God's filthy rich. And God's looking for somebody somewhere to take him serious. God's looking for somebody in the house to simply let him use their little life to show his power. Will you be that person today? Or are you too busy? I'm too busy. Got my career. Oh, too busy. I'm retired. Been waiting my whole life to do what I want to do. Friend, I want to tell you, don't waste your life. Your place on this earth, not for yourself, but your place on this earth for the glory of God. And he's asking you today. I think he's asking you. Asking me. What do you want? What do you want? Do you want to go out with a bang? Do you want to go out with a bang? We're about to have a response time. We do that every Sunday morning because we believe God speaks. And so today, if you know your loss, without your loss is a goose. You're in trouble. You know it. You just know. And I know I've sinned against God. And you have no relationship with the Lord whatsoever. And you want to start that relationship today. Then you simply come and call upon the name of the Lord by simple faith. And the Bible says he'll save you. He'll adopt you. He'll set you free. You do that today. There'll be pastors available. You can talk to us. You can talk to your friend. You can pray there in your chair. It's not a prayer that saves you. It's repentance and faith in the gospel. God does all the saving. He does all the work. But he uses your repentance and he uses your faith in the gospel. Next, maybe you're a believer in the house and you say, man, I've been a believer for a long time. I'm justified, I'm sanctified, I'm with the Lord, I'm on his team. You may be, but I want to say to you, are you walking by faith? Really? Are you believing God to be your provider? Not the government. I wouldn't depend on them at all, by the way. But what are you depending upon? Your circumstances? The hay that's in the barn? Friend, it's going to burn up sooner or later. But God's faithful. Your retirement? Hey, that's not guaranteed either. Certain group of people gets power over those accounts. You can't get to it. Your retirement's gone. What are you going to do then? You say, well, I've got some cash tucked away. Okay, let's say they take that from you. they can't take it from me. Oh, yeah? The devil knows where it is. It's easy to have faith on the mountaintop. But when everything's burned away, when everything's stripped away, there we get to see true faith. And a lot of people today in the house, you say, brother, I'm there. I know, you're there. There's no money. There's no health. Your children are making unwise decisions. You lost your job. That's where a lot of people are. And I want to tell you, friend, it's an opportunity to now really to walk by faith. And if you'll do so, and look, here's the good news. You don't have to have a lot. You don't have to have a lot of it. God's just asking for a little bit, little teeny tiny. And if you'll walk by faith, with a little bit of faith, you will bring him much glory. You'll bring him glory, and we'll get to see God's power fleshed out in people's lives. People saved. Callings on people's lives. Maybe you're a middle schooler here today, and God just invented your heart to invent something, to be an inventor, to create a cheaper energy source, to learn how to grow more food rapidly, to invent a new medicine, preferably one that cures coronavirus. But what about other things? Cancer. The cure for cancer could be in this room because there's going to be a middle schooler that says, God, show it to me. Nobody asks. Nobody has the guts to ask him. God, I'm telling you, God's looking for somebody somewhere to ask him for it. There was a young black man by the name of George Washington Carver. He became one of the most honored and respected scientists of his generation. And he focused on a very simple thing. I'll give you a hint. Reese's peanut butter. A peanut. And George Washington Carver, he had the guts to pray, to ask God this. He said, God, would you explain to me how the universe works? Now, who prays that kind of prayer? He says he felt like God told him. He said, son, you can't handle that. You can't handle that. And so he said, Lord, would you show me something that I can handle? And so God led him to the peanut. God led him to the little small peanut. And he discovered 300 uses for this basic common food. 300 different uses for it. He says, without God to draw aside the curtain, I would be helpless. And every time George Washington Carver would discover something, he believed it was because God was showing him. Because he had the faith to say, God, would you help me with this? Would you show me this? Would you give me insight into this? And so God blessed him. God blessed him abundantly. What about you? Who's the high school girl that's going to believe God for more? Who's the high school senior that's going to say, you know what? This year, I'm not going to let Corona steal my senior year. I'm going to do all I can to bring my classmates to Jesus. I'm going to start a prayer group in the morning, every morning before school. I'm going to go and I'm going to start a prayer group. And if I'm the only one, it's just going to be me crying out and believing God to change my school. Where's the young couple in our church that's going to say, you know what? I'm devastated there's not more 20-somethings in our church. And I'm going to do something about it. Instead of going and find another trendy church that's got cooler music or cooler this or cooler that or better coffee, drive-through church, maybe I'm going to be the one that says, you know what? There are 20-somethings all over this city, and I'm about to find them. And I'm going to start a small group at my house, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to reach them. Where's the senior adult couple that's going to say, you know what? I'm tired of not having any friends. I'm going to step up and be a friend. I'm going to start something at my house. I want to play cards, and I don't have anybody to play cards with. I'm going to start it at my house. I'm going to invite people to my house to play cards for the glory of God. What are you asking God for? What grandparents praying that God raised up their grandchild to take the gospel to an unreached people group in Asia? You say that would be terrible? Would it? What's the mission? What's God called you to do? Because I'm pretty sure Jesus said, if you lose your life, you'll find another one. You'll find life. You'll be blessed. What do you want? God's asking us today, what do you want? Individually and as a church, what do you want?